Hello. So I wanted to do an update. I shared my story last week on the pod of what I went through that day and in the first couple of years of after the marathon bombings. And I just thought I'd do like just add some things that I know I missed, even though there's no way I could possibly add everything. In a small space of time. I mean, it's this 10-year journey has been, even just those 2 years, I could never share everything in, just a podcast or a couple of podcast episodes. But the anniversary was last weekend, and 10 years is a long time. So I just wanted to share some other things that I thought about, and then also how that weekend went, and just a few things. So, first of all, I sort of skipped a lot of things in sharing my story over that first year, but the basic gist is that I suffered from pretty severe depression, just sadness. I mean, it was a sad day. And also it became really sad just how I was feeling and dealing with the anxiety literally every single day, the panic attacks that were happening so frequently and never really knowing what would, knowing some things that would definitely trigger them, but not knowing everything that would. And that's the thing about trauma is, and people talk about how it's stored in your body. And I think that conversation has gotten really misconstrued. We tend to hold our stress in certain places, a lot of people in their back, right? But trauma is stored in the brain. And that connects to our body, right? Through our nervous system. And so, in a way, the trauma is stored in both places in certain ways, but it's more that the brain is triggered by something, and that causes physical manifestations, right? Because it sends signals to certain parts of your nervous system. And that's why people feel a lot of the trauma and discomfort in their back when they're stressed. And so in that way, yes, like it's in our bodies, because we have very physical reactions to a mental thing. And so my anxiety, my panic attacks were, they were triggered, and something in my brain would bring me back to that day. And my body would react with panic attacks, or daily, my body was just reacting because I was in this constant state of hypervigilance and anxiety, and sadness. And so my leg was just constantly shaking and bouncing. Now it really doesn't happen very much. And I shared some of, things that maybe have triggered it. Not much has, but I do still get, I would say I get like a numbness, and that's what happened when I was actually at the anniversary events this year. This sort of numbness, but like feeling of, I guess, dread is how I would describe it, just kind of sinks into just the whole center of my body, and I feel it, and I know what it is. It hit me right at the time of the bombings on the 10th year anniversary, as we were at the ceremony and the bells started to chime for the moment of silence. And there's been other times where I am brought back to it by different things that I feel a little bit of that feeling, or sadness. Emotion is a big one for me. Feeling, my eyes well up with tears. And again, though, that's because of something stirring up a memory or a feeling into my brain, and then me physically reacting to that. And yeah, so And over that time, you know, I think ever since then and in going forward, I just really want to bring attention to those with trauma that is invisible, right? That day, there were so many different levels of injury, and some were physical injuries, many were physical injuries, but there were a lot of people that had both physical injuries and didn't, who experienced those invisible mental, emotional injuries. And I like to call them injuries because that's kind of what it is. It's just like an injured part of you that can heal. And I think that that's why I like to refer to it as injuries, because we know that we can heal our injuries, right? And that doesn't mean going back. You know, these people aren't growing their limbs back. You know, those scars are going to be there for people who had different types of injuries. And the scars are going to be there for even the mental and emotional parts of it and the invisible injuries, but you can heal. Healing may be a lifelong journey. Healing, I think, has also gotten this, especially in spirituality spaces and coaching spaces. Healing is spoken about as it's like this ultimate thing you're working toward. Like you are going to be healed, right? And the truth is, that's not really how it works. Healing is a journey, and people heal to different extents, and you can't heal yourself out of the experience. So that experience will have always happened to you. You know, I will never not have been there that day at that time and experienced what I did. It will be in there. I don't have to do some kind of work to just completely make it go away, right? I have to do what I can so that it's not affecting me in a negative way on a regular basis. But it's okay if in April every year I have some of those waves of feelings coming through, as long as I'm not having, you know, severe panic attacks or anything like that. Then, you know, it's okay. It's okay for me to have emotion and feelings about this thing that happened to me and so many people that I now care deeply about, but even to the people that I don't know that it happened to. I can feel things about that, and that's okay. I think, you know, I participated in this. I participated in this belief that we would, you know, be able to just heal our stuff and it would just be gone, right? And we'd just be fine. And there's so many people out there that I started to notice were making these claims, and you could tell that they hadn't completely healed and moved on from their own stuff, because you would see how it was popping in to their work and the ways things they were speaking about. And so I just think it's really important for people to remember that you don't have to make something go away as if it never happened. There are other levels of healing that happen that are really powerful. And actually, remembering that it happened is important, because it can motivate you. It can give you perspective. It can, you know, I listen to or talk to different people who were injured in really severe ways that day. And hearing them talk about what the last 10 years has meant to them and the way they've pushed forward and how so many beautiful things have been brought into their lives, you know, that none of that is diminished by remembering that that day existed and allowing yourself to feel it if you need to feel it, right? And this goes for anything, any hard thing you go through. You know, you never really stop missing a loved one that passes, at least not one that you were maybe close with and had a good relationship with. And just like, even if it was a rocky relationship, you know, you still have feelings about that when they're gone. And, you know, those feelings remain to a certain extent. And so I guess that's the important piece of this. I decided to bring my nephew along with my boyfriend to the 10-year anniversary events for survivors. They had a great luncheon for us that was a little overstimulating for both myself and my 4-year-old nephew. So we had to like go outside a couple times. It was just a lot of people. I honestly haven't been in rooms with a lot of people like that since before COVID. And I've never actually really loved being in those rooms. They exhaust me when I'm around just too many people at once. So we were there and he was a great distraction. Some of my friends have kids and there were kids there and there were people that I care deeply about. And it was a nice day. And I didn't actually have a lot of emotion when we were at the events. And I think my nephew was a good distraction. I think the ceremony they had felt a little, I wouldn't say disorganized, but you know, there wasn't an announcement that a moment of silence was coming. It just kind of happened, but like we didn't have our eyes on like the time to know what time it is. Like it kind of was a weird thing. And I had that sort of dread, numb feeling for probably a minute or two. But it was beautiful. And they unveiled a beautiful new symbol at the finish line of the marathon. The Boston Marathon is pretty big for anybody who doesn't know. It was big before the bombing and it has gotten bigger since. People are just people, especially the running community and people who are into marathons, and the city itself just really has wanted to honor that day and to be a part of it. And so, you know, you could feel that. And there were very large crowds there that day, which was a little, I guess, unexpected for some reason. My friends and I all said, like, we didn't expect this to be like this, but we should have. And as we were walking back to the car and my nephew had his head on my shoulder, he said, "Auntie, that was a special, special, special day. And that honestly was all I needed." I want him to know, you know, someday he'll know what really happened that day. But right now, all he knows is that I wanted to bring him for a day that was really special to my friends and I. And I wanted to, you know, kind of introduce him to the marathon. And even though it wasn't on the marathon day, next year we'll go to the marathon. I will, you know, hope to take him and show him pieces of the actual race. And as he gets older, I'll be able to tell him what happened that day. And he and I have just had this special bond. He's only 4 years old and we just have this thing. So bringing him with me that day was something that I wanted to do and something that I'm happy I did, because it was a special day. And seeing so many people and knowing, you know, where they're at, and there's so many positive and beautiful things that came out of that, foundations and, you know, children and marriages and relationships. There's so many beautiful stories, and seeing one of the youngest people injured, the little boy that passed that we lost that day, Martin Richards, his younger sister, who he was 8, she was 7, and she lost her leg. And we've watched her grow. And now she's 17. And that is so crazy. And to, you know, she was interviewed in our newspaper and shared that she's just ready to move on with her own life and create her own path, kind of away from this. And that makes sense, you know. She was so young and she's grown up with this, you know, everybody knows her. Everybody knows her story, and which can be a beautiful thing, but that's also a lot for a kid. But to see their family share joy together and smile is so beautiful to see, and to have watched people grow is something I can't explain. So I will be sharing other people's stories. People were having trouble sort of leading up to the anniversary. Some people were really struggling. Some people were just kind of feeling a little strange and didn't really want to talk yet. And so I have some people that are ready to share, and this might be an ongoing thing where I just bring people on at different times when they're ready. But I'm going to be sharing other people's stories from that day, which I am looking forward to. As I said, so many beautiful stories, things that have happened since that are, and watching these people heal and being alongside of them has just always been something I couldn't imagine not having. So I'll be sharing that. I'll be sharing a sort of family member. Matt, who is my uncle, was married to his aunt, and we spent Christmases together, and he was paralyzed in a hockey accident in 2010. And I'm going to share what his experience did for me 3 years later. And he's going to share his story, which is an amazing, beautiful story, again, of hope and resilience, but also of what I said earlier, it doesn't go away. You know, there are hard days still. And he's like a motivational speaker, and he's amazing. So I can't wait to share his story. Also, we're talking about different mental health topics over the next few months. I hope to bring on some of the people I met down in Orlando when we went there. I organized a trip when the Pulse shootings happened so that we could go and support them. And I'm hoping to have some of them on to share their experience, their story. And then we have Dr. Kyle back on next week, and he talks about mental health for boys and men. And that includes like trans men and trans boys. And we want to make sure, I want to make sure that that's not, you know, we use these terms still. I almost wish they didn't exist, though I guess we sort of need them. I don't know. But he's going to talk about that because I think that, you know, I want to make sure that conversation doesn't get lost. I have a lot of women on here, and those identifying as women, was what I've sort of had more of. And I want to make sure that we're really addressing all people. So we're starting with that, with men and boys. We talk about toxic masculinity. We have a very interesting conversation about that, and he really changed my perspective on that term. So you definitely want to listen to that episode. That's next week. I also have Shulamit coming back on, who was on a while ago. She's the entrepreneur's therapist, but she's also a trauma expert. So she's coming on. We're going to talk about pandemic trauma, because it's something that I feel a lot of people are sort of ignoring or brushing under the rug, and or only using when they're trying to sort of manipulate the conversation, or I don't know, people are using it in ways that I don't think is helpful. So we're going to talk about that. We have a lot of good things coming up. Restorative justice, prison reform kind of talk, and I am excited to bring these conversations to you. I'm also looking for people in the LGBTQIA community to share their stories, whether that's a coming out story or supporting somebody in that community, or sharing, you know, something about mental health if you are a quote unquote expert or activist or anything, you know, that really speaks to the LGBTQIA plus community, I would love to talk to you. So you can message me on Instagram or email me at thesoulfulhumanpod@gmail.com. And I think that's what I'm kind of focused on now, is just people sharing their stories on mental health struggles and or experts or different things, and then the LGBTQIA community. And then we'll move on to the next topic. So, but that's going to probably bring us through the summer. I do start a part-time job soon in addition to my business and in addition to starting school again. So, we will see how often I'm able to post episodes. You know, it may go down to every other week. I know it's been a little sporadic the last month and a half, and that is because between the 10th anniversary coming up and also dealing with getting all my stuff together to go back to school and for this job, you know, all those things had to take priority, which I'm sure people understand. So that's it. If you hadn't listened to me share my story, go back and listen. At some point, I am going to write a book that's been sort of in my mind for many years, sharing my experience and really the healing journey. I think that writing it a significant amount of time after is actually feels more right to me than when I wanted to write one earlier. Just to bring more awareness, to bring more awareness to PTSD, to bring more awareness to, you know, these invisible injuries and how people need more support and the right kind of support. Because if you are somebody that is trying to support another person who's gone through something really difficult, and unfortunately we live in a world where these things are happening more and more often, these mass casualty events, and I think it's important for people to know what to do and what not to do. You know, you can't fix it. You can't understand unless you have experienced something similar. And so the best thing you can do is listen and be there for them for what they need, not what you want them to do or what you feel they need. And helping them find the right kinds of therapists, people who specialize in these types of things, and helping them find, you know, support from other people who have experienced similar things, and just being there for them. You know, I really feel that the best people were the ones who allowed me to feel what I needed to feel and gave me some space, but also just checked in, right? And cared, showed me they cared and that they were still there, and didn't try to pressure me to do anything, didn't try to fix it. And so I think that, you know, I'll be sharing, of course, that's what I want, you know, a chunk of the book to be about, both from the perspective of a person going through something and the perspective of people supporting them. But I'll share more on that over time on my regular content, because I think it's an important conversation to have, and especially with so much craziness going on in the world. So that's it for today and this week. And next week, we will be back with Dr. Kyle. Make sure you don't miss that one, because we always have great conversations.